are listening to the Sermon Podcast of Christ Lutheran Church in Woodcliff Lake, New Jersey.
This sermon was recorded on November 25th, 2018, Christ the King Sunday. The text for this sermon was from the Gospel according to John, chapter 18, starting at the 33rd verse. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?"
There are no Republicans or Democrats in the Bible, but the Bible is full of politics. Politics, in its broadest sense, is how we make, preserve, and modify the general rules under which we live. These rules, spoken or unspoken, show up whenever groups of people live or work together. As human beings, we need each other, but that doesn't mean we always get along. Our rival opinions, competing needs, and different wants lead to conflict, cooperation, and more conflict. We team up with each other, form factions against one another, and use every skill we have to win whatever conflict we're in. Politics are the rules, expectations, and activities that form and shape how we work or how we don't work with each other. Now, as a faith community located in the United States, it's not hard to hear the word politics and immediately think of political parties, recent elections, and which family members we avoided talking politics with during last Thursday's Thanksgiving dinner. Politics is also something we think the church should avoid, because politics always feels partisan, biased by whatever political leanings and political party we identify with. We tell ourselves that politics doesn't belong in the church, so we seek out the spiritual meaning of every text in the Bible that we read on Sunday mornings. But when we only look for the spiritual, we miss the political realities that impacted Jesus' life and ministry. Today's text from the Gospel according to John is a political text, and we can't discover its spiritual meaning until we are honest about the political reality that informed Pilate's first words to Jesus: "Are you the King of the Jews?" Now, if you were meeting Jesus face to face for the first time, what would your question be? It could be anything. Yet I'm pretty sure none of us would ask Pilate's question. Pontius Pilate, as we remember, was a Roman governor who ruled Jerusalem and the surrounding communities during Jesus' years of public ministry. Pilate was appointed by the emperor, and he embodied Roman authority, control, and military might. He was the emperor's representative when the emperor wasn't around. And when Pilate spoke, everyone in Syria, Judea, and the Middle East listened. Pilate's governor mansion wasn't based in Jerusalem. However, when the Jewish festival of Passover took place, Pilate moved into the city with a large cohort of soldiers. They were there to provide security, crowd control, and to keep everyone in line. Gigantic religious events had a tendency to encourage riots, conflicts, and revolts. So Pilate was ready to eliminate any threat, no matter how small it seemed. Jesus had also recently arrived in the city. And after teaching in the temple and sharing a final meal with his friends, he was betrayed by Judas and arrested. After being convicted in a trial overseen by the religious authorities, Jesus was handed over to Roman power. Pilate didn't care if Jesus was a spiritual leader, and he wasn't looking for any religious advice. Pilate wanted to know if Jesus was a threat. And since the religious leaders had handed Jesus over to him, Pilate already assumed he was. Pilate's first question out of the gate was a political one. He wanted to know if Jesus claimed any kind of authority that would challenge Rome's rule. Pilate could only imagine the world as he knew it to be, and any king in his world needed certain things. A king needed territory, followers, and resources. A king needed an army willing to kill on his behalf. A king, in Pilate's mind, needed to inspire fear, conflict, and cooperation in those they ruled. And if Jesus could do any of that, then he would be a king. And he would challenge Rome's monopoly on that power. Pilate, as depicted in the Gospel according to John, wasn't interested in truth. His questions to Jesus were not a gentle inquiry into Jesus' life, ministry, and mission. Instead, it was an interrogation, because Pilate needed to confirm Jesus' identity as a threat. Pilate knew how his world worked, and as the emperor's representative, the truth he knew was centered in power, control, and in someone always winning every conflict, no matter what. What Pilate couldn't see, or what he chose not to see, was the truth right in front of him. And that truth wasn't a what, or an idea, or something written down on a piece of paper. That truth was a who. Because as Jesus shared in John chapter 14, verse 6, he is the way, the truth, and the life. We tend to imagine the outcome of politics as having some kind of material shape. Politics involves people having power, and that power is expressed by having authority over others. Politics is made real in specific places, be it in a city council chamber, in a part of Congress, or even in the unspoken table seating charts dictated in some high school lunchrooms. Politics, we believe, is about controlling domains and forming our own personal kingdoms. Yet, Jesus's politics was and is different. He came to live out his commitment to a world that was already overseen by him. As part of the Holy Trinity and as the one through whom which the entire universe was made, there's no kingdom, no domain, and no territory that doesn't already belong to him. When it comes to God's creation, there's no place that Jesus needs to fight over to control. So Jesus chose to build personal, meaningful, and deep relationships with us, since we already live in God's world. And in the words of Reverend Caroline Lewis, Jesus' kingdom can be anywhere. Anytime that kingdom behavior is exemplified, lived out, and that kingdom witness is heard and observed. What Pilate couldn't see was that Jesus' kingdom was rooted not in things, but in people. Jesus wanted people to connect with God's ultimate promise that they are loved, not because they're perfect, but because God is. And that this promise changes everything. It changes how we interact with each other. It changes how we live with our neighbors. It changes how we make, preserve, and modify the general rules under which we live. Rather than being focused on winning whatever conflict we're in, our faith in Jesus compels us to realize that we, on a cosmic and divine level, have already won. So instead of competing with one another, we can choose to love each other. Instead of seeking out victories over those we disagree with, we can choose to help them thrive. Instead of building walls to give us a fake sense of security, we can work on building bonds of friendship, knowing that those bonds take much more work and much more time to create, but they are the only way to develop lasting peace. We get to be honest about the ways we fail to use our power for good, and we get to stand up to racism, sexism, and classism and every ism that stops us from seeing the image of God in the people around us. And because of our baptism, we get to imagine how our politics can be a way we serve God and our neighbors. Jesus as the truth means that sometimes the truth we tell is anything but. Yet when we cling to Jesus, listening to his voice over all others, we find ourselves testifying to his truth, a truth of forgiveness, a truth of mercy, a truth of service, and a truth above all of love. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for a contemporary service or a 10:30 organ-led service at 32 Pasquek Road on the corner of Church Road and Pasquek Road in Woodcliffe Lake, New Jersey. We'll see you there.